A lot has been happening in Afghanistan, and most of it is very cluttered. In fact, if you are also like me, somebody who reads late into the night, also tracks what's happening in the neighborhood of India, in India, and in the world late into the night, because that's when a lot of the international publications put out their stories and articles. Then you would have noticed last night that there was a great deal of buzz coming out of Afghanistan. So what happened in Afghanistan was that there was a suicide bomb attack in front of or on the residence of Afghanistan's acting defense minister, who's Bismillah Khan Mohammadi. So there was a rumor that he was having a meeting, or there were reports that he was having a meeting with the son of Ahmad Shah Massoud, which is a kind of warlord again, or a successor to Ahmad Shah Massoud, in the northern region of Afghanistan, fighting the Taliban. So obviously the Taliban thought that that was the time to kill two targets with one human bomb. So they sent a vehicle laden with human bombers, and a vehicle blew up. You could see pictures and visuals of those, of that explosion, which is actually unfortunately not unusual coming out of Kabul. And then there was pitched fighting in the house, because looks like that some of these people entered the house and there was a fighting with the guards there. Fortunately for Afghan government, the defense minister was not at home and his family had also been evacuated. So they were safe. In fact, after this fighting ended, the defense minister tweeted that everything was safe, that some people were injured in his house in the fight, that four of the five attackers had been killed. We don't know what happened with the fifth. And he also said, he also made a big statement of self-confidence. Now, as that was happening, when that happened, you would have said this is normal in Afghanistan. There is a green zone in Kabul, which is supposed to be very heavily protected. Because it is very heavily protected, that is the zone that Taliban targets, and that is where they use their human bombers. Because once somebody is willing to sacrifice or give up his life to a cause, then it becomes that much more possible for you to infiltrate a highly protected zone, because you know if the person is okay with not being able to come back, you have that much more capability. Anyway, the interesting thing was, while this fighting was going on, something else remarkable happened in Kabul, that thousands of people, tens of thousands of people came out on their terraces, in their balconies, verandas, many out on the street. And Kabul is a very well-lit town. Kabul is now a small metropolis. Kabul is a small metropolis of 5 million people, 50 lakhs. That is more than 10% of all of Afghanistan's population. It is the main urban center there. I think the second one should be after this Herat, with about 30, 35 lakhs. Kabul, people came out. And there was noise. And what was the noise? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So they were literally, in fact, go back and watch those videos on social media, and I will share a couple of links with you. You can see this cry renting the atmosphere there. The important thing is, as many people noticed after that, that this is where Afghan citizens had wrested the slogan of Allahu Akbar from the Taliban. Now, Kabul was not a one-off phenomenon. Kabul became important because it's Kabul, it's the capital, and because it came up just when the defense minister's house was under attack. So this was seen as a spontaneous expression, but the inspiration of this had come a couple of days earlier, and the inspiration had come from the city of Herat on the southwestern borders of Afghanistan. Now, Herat, not far from Iran, is a city that's been under siege by the Taliban. It looked at one point, in fact, a week or 10 days back, that Taliban were on the verge of taking Herat. And if they took over Herat, that would be a big setback for the Ghani government. And that would be a big setback for Afghan National Defense Forces, ANDSF, and also would have really damaged their morale, which was already down. And what happened in Herat was that one old coot again emerged, and that old coot, I say old coot in a nice way, not in a judgmental way. Old coot is like saying an old rogue, but in this case, in a good avatar, that is Ismail Khan. So Muhammad Ismail Khan, now 75 years old. Muhammad Ismail Khan in his times was called the Lion of Kandahar. And I will tell you something about these warlords as we go along. So he's one of the most preeminent warlords of Afghanistan. So he came out, and you will see these pictures of him on my screen also, in big flowing white beard. Does not look like he can fight very much, but the age of 75, he's walking around, he's also sprinting with a rifle, rallying his troops, rallying also the government troops, and also rallying the citizens, residents of Herat into self-defense, saying that we will not submit to the Taliban. And that is where, first of all, this mass chanting of Allahu Akbar as a slogan against the Taliban started. And once again, there were videos put out at night. That was the night before. You can also see on these videos, young people, not even armed, rushing to the barricades, to the entry points of the city, outside which Taliban was pushing their way in, as if in some kind of a reckless satyagraha, to say that you go away, we don't want you, but shouting Allahu Akbar. The same phenomenon then came up in Khost, in Jalalabad, in many other parts of the country. And that looked like some kind of a movement had started. Now, Afghanistan has a very mixed up situation. A lot of what happens is also smoke and mirrors. There is also propaganda. So you cannot rule out that the ruling government would also use this propaganda. They will also have in the cities, they have sufficient control in the cities to get this started, to get people to shout death to the Taliban. You can't do it out in the countryside, but in the cities you can do. Cities also give you anonymity, particularly at night. But there was an element of spontaneity in this. So what we saw over the past 48 hours, and that's the reason Cut the Clutter is back on Afghanistan now, is a turnaround in the situation. In fact, just last month, General Kenneth McKenzie, the US Central Command chief, he had said that Taliban win is not inevitable. But it had looked like that until about 72 hours back, because Taliban had already fired rockets at Kandahar airport, and Kandahar airport had been put out of operation. Then the city of Lashkargah, which is right in the heart of southwestern Afghanistan, and very critical place, because Lashkargah is where two rivers meet. That is the big Helmand River and the Argandab River, and there is a big dam and water storage system that the Americans had built during their occupation, and that supplies then water to irrigate tens of thousands of hectares of land. In fact, a lot of the completely dry area has now turned into green area because of that dam. So it's a very important place. So Lashkargah, the capital of southern Helmand, had come under pressure. Taliban were all over the city. They were seen in the city. They were seen as close as 100 yards, or even closer than 100 yards to the governor's palace. And it looked like Lashkargah was going to fall any moment. So Kandahar airport knocked out, Spin Boldak on the border with Pakistan taken, so Taliban can now collect taxes from trucks coming in and going out. If Lashkargah had fallen, as it looked like it would, and Herat was coming under pressure, because remember, it's the same axis from east to the west. Kandahar, Lashkargah, Herat. Do look at the map and you can see that axis. Then it would have looked like that all of the south, the Taliban have taken over. That has now reversed to quite an extent in the last 72 hours. Now, there is a bunch of reasons why this has happened. One, I told you that in Herat, it is old Ismail Khan who came back and said, listen, whoever comes in, I am the Lion of Herat. Right? So in Afghanistan, there are lots of warlords. Everybody calls himself Lion of some place. So this is Lion of Herat. Then there's a Lion of Mazar-e-Sharif, that is, or Lion of Balkh, that is Ata Noor. I will tell you about him. There used to be a Lion of Panjshir, that was Ahmad Shah Massoud. I bet there is someone else there. Of course, nobody says Lion of such and such place. They are all called Lion of such and such place. So his old pride came back in, and Ismail Khan is a man of substance because he has popularity there. So he came out. Once he came out, then the Heratis came out. Because Herat is a very big town, 30-35 lakh people, right next to Iran. And Herat then pushed the Taliban back. As Herat pushed the Taliban back, Lashkar Gah also evened the score a little bit. So a lot of the Taliban who were close to the governor's palace, they were pushed back. Fighting is still going on in the city. So don't think that the threat to Lashkar Gah is over. Fighting is still going on in the city, but fighting is going on. And Taliban have been pushed back a little bit. Also, the second factor that came in, that American air activity resumed. So once again, American bombers were in the air, and it's widely believed, from what I read also, that B-52s have been involved in bombing both in Herat and outside of Lashkar Gah. They can't bomb in Lashkar Gah because there the troops are too mixed up and civilians are too mixed up. In fact, as we speak, the commander, the Afghan commander of Lashkar Gah, has actually advised the civilian population to leave because he says this is now a battle zone. We don't want you caught in crossfire. And you see visuals of civilians leaving, just a little jhola and nothing else, poor fellows. Also, at the same time, many civilians are stuck in their homes because in many cases, the Taliban, to take refuge, have hidden in their homes and are firing from there. So this is like, unfortunately, if you see pictures from Lashkar Gah, very unfortunately, you can visualize its fate, and it might not be very different from what Mosul had become when ISIS had taken over that city and there was a fight, there was a big fighting going on there for a long time. Now, Lashkar Gah is not a very big city. Lashkar Gah is just about 1.5 lakh people. And there are bodies of civilians on the streets. But mind you, Afghans have been pushed back. So there is at least a stalemate there, Taliban. So in fact, Helmand is so critical that even while the Americans and the ISAF forces were there, American allies were there, they were still pitched battles for control of Helmand. In fact, you can see a documentary, you can find it on YouTube, called Shepherds of Helmand. This was the big attack by the Taliban on Helmand in 2008, when the Afghan security forces there, assisted by a small band of kind of paramilitaries or irregulars from the US, that from the Oregon Army National Guard, who had come in, who had volunteered to come in to train Afghan forces, just 17 of them. They fought along with Afghan forces and pushed the Taliban away. So this is a place that's been contested for a long time by the Taliban. So, you know, the Talibans have been pushed back. So at least there is a stalemate there. So this idea 72 hours back, the Taliban was about to take over one big city, that has not come to pass. And similarly in Kabul, once again, if they were able to take out the defense minister, would have been a big shattering blow to the morale of the Afghan defense forces, because that is what the Taliban are trying to do. They are using psychological warfare to get as many of the government soldiers to surrender as possible. Those surrenders lately have stopped. Bunch of those happened in the north, up in the north, say in the Badakhshan area, which surprisingly the Taliban took over. They were not expected to. But that is where surrenders took place. But after that, surrenders have not been taking place and the Afghan forces have been fighting. So that is how some order has been restored. And you can see the American activity, and I've seen quite a bit of activity on Pakistani social media also. People who track these international aviation sites, which give you the location of planes. And these sites are now showing you that the American tanker aircraft are flying over Pakistani territory, going into Afghanistan, obviously to refuel American bombers and fighters involved in action. And of course, these people, Pakistani critics of the government there, are saying that, look, Imran Khan should have thought twice before he promised or he asserted before the whole world and to his own people that they will never allow Pakistan's airspace to be used by Americans again. It is being used by the Americans again, and American air activity is there because America also is now committed to ensuring the Taliban don't win. The third thing that's happened is that the UN Security Council has also taken a formal and clear position on this. UN Security Council has issued a statement saying that there can be no military solution, that there should be a peace process, but it should be Afghan run and Afghan owned. They've also said that they don't support at all the idea of restoration of an Islamic Emirate in Afghanistan. Islamic Emirate is what the Taliban had called it the last time they had taken over. Islamic Emirate is how they want to be described right now also. And that was the big argument when talks were going on between them and the Afghan government and the Americans at Doha. Now, this came on top of another major political development. That is a big Taliban delegation led by none else than its big chief, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, a most wanted man until the other day in the whole world. He led a delegation to China, to Tianjin. Foreign Minister Wang Yi received this delegation and then issued a statement after that where he said the Taliban are set to play the pivotal military and political role in Afghanistan and are expected to play an important role in the process of peace, reconciliation and reconstruction of the country. That was seen as a Chinese endorsement to the Taliban and also a kind of Chinese presumption that Taliban were going to win. This, as I told you, this led to that mood 72 hours back, which made a lot of people believe the Taliban victory is inevitable. But very important point. While this was said, it was also said by the Chinese that the Taliban have said that they will not allow Afghanistan's territory to be used against the Chinese, especially by an organization called East Turkestan Islamic Movement, ETIM. That name is a bit misleading because Turkestan is the idea that the Uyghur separatists or Uyghur militant movement has of reuniting Uyghur regions and calling it East Turkestan. So this is an Uyghur separatist militant Islamic movement, ETIM, East Turkestan Islamic Movement. This is not a very big organization, but the Chinese, as we know, are quite paranoid about Xinjiang. So they wanted the Taliban to support them, and Taliban said that they will, Taliban made a commitment of their support. Now, what's happened is that Lashkar Gah is now the center, because keep watching on the map of Afghanistan what happens at Lashkar Gah, because Lashkar Gah also has a very tough young Afghan commander. He's just 35. He's a general. He's a corps commander at the age of 35. His name is General Syed Sami Sadat. You can check out his Twitter handle. I follow him on Twitter. He's the commander of 215 Maiwand Afghan Army Corps, and he speaks almost every day on video, sounding very confident. He spoke to the BBC the other day. In fact, he said that who are the Taliban? They are terrorists and dictators. They cannot win against liberty, and I am here. He's been able to organize Afghan forces very well. The police chief there, who in fact happens to be a friend of the corps commander there, he had lost his leg earlier fighting the Taliban. He's got wounded in fighting again right now, but his police force is still fighting. So that fighting is going on there. So that is the state of the fight. Up north, again, there is fighting going on. And yet again, that is being done primarily by some warlords. So the big warlord there is Muhammad Atta Noor, who sometimes is seen as too stylish. In fact, I believe he comes out sometimes with Gucci glasses and showing a lot of style. His children have been educated overseas at foreign top military academies, etc., etc. He's a bit of a show shah, but he is what they have in the north. Mazar-e-Sharif, he's an ethnic Tajik, because we must understand this about Afghanistan. I keep saying it all the time that for every ethnic group present in Afghanistan, there is a larger number of its cousins or siblings in some adjoining country. Say more Pathans in Pakistan, more Tajiks in Tajikistan, more Uzbeks in Uzbekistan, like that. So Afghanistan is a very diverse country. So he's a Tajik. Again, another warlord there is Abdul Rashid Dostum, who's right now safe in Turkey with his family, waiting for his opportunity. But you know, over the decades, I have seen Abdul Rashid Dostum change so many sides that at any given point of time, it's like a modern game of hockey. Any player can be playing on any side. You don't know which side is he on. Right now, he's on his own side. He's sitting in Turkey. He's obviously figuring out who's going to win, and he will jump to that side. But he is an Uzbek leader. He has an Uzbek militia. So he's an Uzbek warlord. Around time, I used to cover the first war in Afghanistan when Mujahideen were good people for the Western world. Then he fought against the Mujahideen with Najibullah's government. When he saw the Mujahideen winning, he shifted, joined the Mujahideen. He shifted again. At one point, escaped. So he's done many funny things. Again, you see his picture. I've shared this picture with you before. See how many medals he's given himself. I don't know whether he calls himself Field Marshal or Chief of Army Staff or something like that. He's also held formal power. Even Ismail Khan has been a minister for 8 long years, 2005 to 2013. He was a minister in the Afghan government. He was also governor of Herat. And while he was governor of Herat, he was also commander of the 4th Corps based in Herat. So it is actually Hamid Karzai who at one point thought he'll cut him to size by saying that one man cannot have two positions. So he removed him from the Corps commander's position. That led to a lot of fighting because he's the Dada of Herat. And then he was in and out. He raised his own militia. His loyalists were all there, and everybody, all these warlords have plenty of weapons in Afghanistan, including tanks and armored personnel carriers in many cases. So he grew his power again, regrouped his power in Herat. Then he, at some point, he had joined the Afghan government in the fighting against Taliban. He had helped liberate Herat from the Taliban, from where he had been driven away once. But he joined hands with Ahmad Shah Massoud, fought the Taliban, even attacked Kandahar to try and defeat the Taliban there, wasn't able to do it. Later, these are stories that happened in Afghanistan all the time, and this is the normal life of a warlord. Later, he was betrayed by one of his own people called Abdul Malik Pehlwan, who is now a Chotu warlord. And he was sort of sold to the Taliban. So he was arrested by the Taliban, locked up in Kandahar jail. In March of 99, in good time before 9/11, he escaped from Kandahar jail. So it is that Ismail Khan who's now fighting. So that is the life of one more warlord. In 1995, as I said, he had lost Herat to the Taliban. Now he has no intention to let the Taliban take Herat. There is also Gulbuddin Hikmatyar, who founded Hizb-e-Islami. We've talked about him in the past. He also notoriously pummeled Kabul with missiles the last time when the Mujahideen were trying to take over Kabul. But lately, he's become a quote-unquote good guy. He wants peace. He doesn't like this government in Afghanistan. He'd prefer to be president himself. So he's been holding processions, demonstrations against the Taliban and against the government and asking for peace process to be intensified. But he is also waiting for his opportunity, because when time comes, he will also have his people. So this is the general lay of the land right now. I've told you about the state of fighting in the key places and also the warlords, ethnic leaders on whom now the future of Afghanistan depends. And finally, the fact that both the international community and city dwellers of Afghanistan have risen sort of in one voice, saying that they do not want a military victory of the Taliban.